Welcome to the PDL's official podcast, hosted by me, the commissioner and the owner of the Delco Dreamers, Tommy Yu, and...
I'm Darren from the Carolina Thunder. It's time to sit back, relax, and get ready for us to get off topic as possible.
Hey guys, welcome to another episode of the podcast. We meant to typically stay on schedule. I mean, we are, right? We are still releasing a pod this week. But typically when we start like a project, Darren, I always just anticipate that every single episode is going to be that
one.
But today or like this week, we're kind of on a time crunch. And the next thing on the project, we just broke down your team. It would be Max's team. But because we're kind of on a time crunch, we have to give a little bit more time on the other episodes, right? Like Max's episode, I'd be surprised if it's under like, 80, 90 minutes, right? So today we're on a little bit more of a time crunch. So what we wanted to do is something that we were kind of talking about for a while. The post-combine episode. We kept saying, oh yeah, the combine's happening here or interviews are happening now. But it finally happened, Darren. There are a lot of storylines, but I told you a little bit before we recorded, but I didn't ask you. But I actually didn't watch any of the combine this year, which is really surprising. This is actually the first time ever that I have not really watched the combine. And it's obviously because of how busy I have been. But I want to ask you, Darren, because I know you love this stuff. You watch like the seventh round of the draft. You're like wild for all stuff. But how was Combine for you? Did you watch all of it? What did you think? I feel like every year, I remember last year where I even feel like Saquon was actually like, oh man, what is in that Indy turf? Because everyone was running so fast. And this year they ran even faster. And I was just like, man, maybe something is in the turf. Or obviously it's probably because the athletes are obviously freakier with each generation. But with all that being said, how much of the combine did you catch? What did you think of it? Just right off the top before we really jump in.
I think I watched like a good portion of it. Like I watched the... Well, Saturday was the main day for like fantasy football. It was like the quarterback, running back, wide receiver, which I don't understand why. Like, I don't understand why they do that. Like, why do they put all of the players that people care about for the most part? Why do they put them all on the same day? Like, if they space that out, like some Thursday, some Friday, some Saturday, they would probably get more viewers, but you know, whatever. Maybe they only care about getting viewers on that one Saturday slot. I don't know. But I pretty much watched like the most of Saturday. Some of the guys we thought would be fast ran fast, faster than we thought maybe. Some of the guys that we thought would be slow ran slower, like Audric Estime, for example, the running back from Notre Dame.
Oh yeah, Notre Dame boy.
He ran like a 4.75 or something like that. Like that's, I know that that's what Kyren Williams, also from Notre Dame, he ran about the same range, but I don't understand why Notre Dame running backs seem to, because he didn't like look like, he looked like he was kind of slow, but not like that slow. Like that's almost like Tom Brady time. Like he's runs like almost the speed of the Tavondre Sweat from Texas, like the 350-pound D tackle. He was like running like the same speed.
I think that's a lit. Didn't that guy run like a 5.2?
I think it was like a 5.05.
Oh, wow. Okay. I thought it was like a lot slower for whatever reason.
I could be remembering wrong, but I think it was like a 5.05.
But yeah, there were a ton of different headlines that obviously happened during this. But who would you say were like the biggest combine risers? I know we just mentioned probably one faller. Maybe we'll start a faller. Faller would obviously be estimated. Would it even be estimated? Because the running back class was already so like, kind of disrespected.
I think the running back class as a whole pretty much was fallen. Like every running back, like none of them, like that guy from where is he from? Louisville, Grando or whatever. Now people are like saying like, oh, this guy might be like the next Isaiah Pacheco or something like that. But like, I mean, Isaiah Pacheco is Isaiah Pacheco because he went to the Chiefs. No other reason. Like if Isaiah Pacheco went to the Jets, he wouldn't be any good. So like Grando has to get a good landing spot. So I don't know. Like it's like the running backs this year, they just suck. Like I can say it now because now I don't give a shit. But I really like Bucky Irving. Bucky Irving tested so fucking bad. And like he's small and unathletic. So like at that point, I'm like, okay, this guy, there's no way he's gonna be good. Like if he is good, it would be like a Kyren Williams situation, but I think like at best case now he's probably like a change of pace guy in the NFL, which is fine, but not like somebody that I would be considering at my like later first round pick. Maybe I'll consider him now my third round pick. So I don't know. Like, it's just like, but the running backs I liked, like, they all kind of just were just very, very, very disappointing. some of the guys, like Trey Benson, probably increased his stock, I guess.
They didn't, hold on, Jalen Wright, Tennessee, he had a pretty good combine. I have it in my notes. He had the second longest broad jump ever for a running back. Well, let's start with that. Just second longest broad jump ever. So that's obviously a test of explosiveness. And he had the second fastest 40 for this class. Obviously not the fastest running back class, mind you, but still second fastest in the class and second longest broad jump ever, obviously first in this class. I mean, not bad metrics to go by, obviously a weaker running back class, but I think he's one guy that I would want to highlight if you're looking at only combine, right? If you're looking only that, then I would definitely say it's hard not to look at Jalen Wright. Be like, some people might have had him, you know, in the later rounds. I'm not saying this got him drafted. He was definitely on people's boards beforehand, but this might have actually helped him a little bit. So with that being said, who else were some risers or fallers that you want to bring up?
I would say Brian Thomas kind of solidified himself as like a top 20. Adonai Mitchell also helped his case to maybe be a first round pick now. Xavier Worthy, I know people had him as like a back end. Like, a lot of people were mocking him to the Chiefs at the 32nd. I think he's potentially going to go a lot higher than that now because he broke the record that was held by John Ross and he ran a 4.21. I know he's small, but everyone is so infatuated with that speed that you can't just. They're just hoping for the next Tyreek Hill. So I think that he could be top 20 pick now. Like, I think that if the Chiefs do want him, they got to trade up for him, I think, because I don't think he's going to be around at 32 anymore. It's just like the guys.
If guys like Ruggs and Hayward Bay and like of all these guys, if literally they pretty much only had speed, right? And then that got him drafted really high in the draft. And I think you can make the argument that a lot of people liked Worthy even before the 40. And I think I was kind of talking to you, like, people knew Worthy was fast. And then we needed the 4.2, his very first one. What did he run? Like a 4.24?
He ran a 4.25, and then
4.25, and then people pretty much were like, "Don't stop! Like, you don't need to do it anymore. Like, people know you're fast now." And he was like, "No, I want to do it again.
No, I can beat that."
Yeah, and then they're like, "Dude, like, just don't like 4.25. You did ran under a 4.3. You're fine." And then he literally broke the record. So I think once again, this only can help him. But once again, when he was projected like a late round first before this, oh boy, I could only all it takes is one GM. To really fall in love with that speed, right? We have seen it again and again. And I feel like speed is what got Hollywood Brown essentially dry. He didn't even like test, but people knew he was insanely fast. So these are just little anecdotes of like other players that really essentially got drafted solely on speed. But now this guy could literally tout saying fastest ever that has been tested so far.
The thing is though, like they showed that list of the guys that ran the fastest times ever and they all sucked, every single one of them. Like
John Ross 4.22, Drew Archer 4.26.
Chris Johnson was the only one that didn't, like, he was the only one.
Well, you don't remember Jerome Mathis, wide receiver people... from 2005 who ran a 4.26? You don't remember him?
Some of the people that were on this list, like, I don't even remember their names, and I was like, how is this guy one of the fastest players in NFL history and I just don't even know who they are?
Yeah, this makes me sound like an idiot, which, I mean, that's not a hard thing to do. But when I saw Jerome Mathis at 4.26 that ran that 40 at 2005, I was like, were people that fast back? Which, obviously, that's true. People are always fast. But for some reason to me, I was like, wow, that kind of blows my fucking mind. I don't know why. I just think like, oh, no, I thought like 4.2 speed wasn't until like 2010s, but here we go.
They had steroids in the 90s. They were still running fast.
Yeah, but they had like those fucking giant ass shoulder pads that were like the size of like, you know, people's like entire like thighs. They're gigantic. But anyway, it's not here nor there. I think another huge rise. Could you call it a riser? JJ McCarthy, right? Quarterback out of Michigan. People are kind of flirting, saying, "Oh, is he the third best quarterback? The fourth best quarterback?" But all of a sudden. Once again, this is not me, so don't kill the messenger. You've been hearing people saying, is he better than Drake May? Can he be the second quarterback off the board? Like, is he going top three, top five, top 10? Where is he going? But all of a sudden, I don't know. I'm kind of drawing parallels for when they also said Will Levis could be like the second pick off the board, and then he fell all the way down to pretty much like the first pick in the second round, second pick in the second round, whenever that happened. But for you, how are you interpreting this? Because it's hard to argue. McCarthy is definitely, once again, I don't know if riser is the right term, but I guess cementing himself to the maybe rumors before the combine, because this is an opportunity for GMs and beat writers to really start snooping around a little bit. Once again, this could be an elaborate smoke screen, but Darren, you're someone who did follow the combine. I think you would be able to validate or at least confirm what I'm saying right now.
Yeah, it seems like he's like, I don't know about top five, but the way that quarterbacks are treated, like somebody might trade up into the, because like I could see the Chargers or maybe the Patriots moving down, but the Patriots claim they want to take a quarterback. But the Chargers, I think, would be like a prime candidate to move down top five. So like I could see it, and like they say, the Giants might be moving up to get him. And I'm like, dude, you have Daniel Jones on your roster. You want another one? Like, what are you doing? I don't really understand why he's being pumped up this much. Like, I think, like, you know, like, if he goes to the Vikings, like, he might be okay, you know? Like, he's with Justin Jefferson and TJ Hawkinson and Jordan Addison. Like, it would be hard to be that terrible there, I guess. But, like, I just don't. People are saying like now he's better than Drake May, better than Jaden Daniels. And it's like, where is this coming from? Like, where?
I feel like every year there's that one quarterback that just, it just happens, right? No additional football is played. Nothing changes. But all of a sudden, this guy is better than everyone.
Some guy, I forget who it was, but he said he thinks that he could put up better numbers, or he would have put up better numbers at LSU than Jaden Daniels. And this guy is just straight up just, you know, speculation, throwing darts at the board, because J.J. McCarthy actually threw more passes than Jaden Daniels. So it's like you expect this guy that had a Heisman season that rushed for like 1,100 yards or whatever he did. You think J.J. McCarthy can reproduce the same numbers as this guy? Because he definitely cannot. It's like I don't understand. Like, and I could see, like, you can knock Jaden Daniels, I guess, because you could be like, oh, yeah, he, like, holds the ball too long. He gets hit too much. He puts himself in dangerous situations. Like, they literally, like, I think Welch mentioned this
also,
in the chat.
Also, you have the one-year wonder, right? That there's that. Yeah. That's a red flag. Because his entire career in Arizona, he really, I mean, he wasn't terrible by any means, but he obviously was not what he did at LSU either.
I think you could say for McCarthy at Michigan, he like did nothing for 3 years. Like he wasn't asked, and I know he wasn't asked to do anything. And like when he was, I guess he was fine. But like, you know,
Jimmy Garoppolo. What if I told you that your hero and idol said he is a better quarterback than he was when he was at Michigan? And of course, I'm quoting Mr. Tom Brady over here. But what if I were to tell you that?
I mean, I think that's kind of factual because Tom Brady was drafted in the sixth round. So I think. I think we.
So does that change anything there?
Not really. I mean, there's a lot of quarterbacks that were better quarterbacks in college than Tom Brady. Tom Brady was struggling with Drew Henson back in the day. Like they were having a battle of who was going to be the starting quarterback, and they kept flip flopping back and forth. Like he couldn't even solely win the job in college. So like, there's hundreds of quarterbacks that were better than Tom Brady in college. Like he, honestly, like. J.J. McCarthy probably was better than him, but he, like, I mean, I guess he has, like, the ability, like, he can make the throws and everything like that, but...
Aaron, he's a winner. GMs sop that stuff up.
They do love that shit.
Like, I think he's only lost, like... what, like, 3-4 times? I mean, isn't that what they're saying yeah. with Trevor Lawrence? What's Trevor Lawrence's record in the NFL?
Oh, well, after last year, it's probably not that good. I think they lost, like, 9 games last year.
And they had the Urban Meyer star. Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, I don't think his record is probably very good.
But
in the
still,
NFL.
GMs eat that shit up.
They do. Like Trevor Lawrence, it was the same kind of thing. Like you're saying, like it was like he lost 3 games in his entire career to this point.
Like
it's
life,
like,
yeah.
Okay, he was in high school for 4 of those years, so like he probably should have been really good because he's like, like why are you? I don't know, but it's just like. QB wins are kind of a thing, in my opinion. Like, they are the most important factor to the win. I know it's a team sport, but, like, if you have a shit quarterback, you're probably going to lose most of your games. Like, that's just how it goes. So, like, quarterback wins are kind of a thing, even though people say it's, like, stupid. Like, they are the most important factor. Brock Purdy's a good quarterback. I think JJ McCarthy, now that you mentioned Brock Purdy, I think JJ McCarthy could be that kind of guy. If he goes to the right spot, he could be, you know, pretty good, above average. Like, I don't think he's ever going to be like superstar though. Like, I think that like he's fine, but like people are talking about him like he's a fucking godsend. It's out of nowhere, I think. Like, you have two quarterbacks, in my opinion, that are better than him, like, not including Caleb. He's obviously better than him. But you have three quarterbacks that are better than him, and he's being talked about now as the second best quarterback. It's just so odd. It's just crazy to me.
Yeah, it's always a lot of fun. It's something that we both monitor, I feel like, just amongst both of us, because it's almost just like watching a phenomenon happen. There's no additional football happening, all the films out there, the wins and losses, the interceptions, everything's on the field, right? But all of a sudden, when no football's being played, all of a sudden, like, the PR changes, right? Like, suddenly players start moving rapidly. This is even like not really even combine related. And yeah, it's just really fun to kind of monitor it, because once again, it's so hard to follow, because sometimes the speculation is true, sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's valid, yeah. Sometimes it falls apart.
Merrill Hodge. He said that he's like his quarterback six, and I just saw that he was like, I wouldn't take him until the third round. I think he's Mason Rudolph or whatever. And then there was Chris Sims had him, I think, his quarterback five or quarterback six, and he has him as like a project. And it's like, why are people just choosing to bash Drake May now? Is it like because he's the easy target, because he went to North Carolina and Mitch Trubisky, because like they're not like the same dude? I Drake May, in my opinion, should probably be the second pick to the Commanders. I just don't.
I don't know if it's probably. I think that should be a lock. Well, do you think that they're going to do enough to try to get Caleb?
No. I think they've tried, but I think that they've told them, like, we want an extra first, an extra second to move up one spot. It's like, yeah. Our team kind of sucks.
I don't know. So, I feel like if this new owner is like, all right, yeah, fine. Like, we need a new identity. We just got Cliff Kings. Like, they have to do something. I feel like if it's just one extra, they would.
Because Josh Harris is the same owner of the Sixers. And, like, I would be surprised if he did that, because he's
that's not the his same, MO.
Yeah, he's the same guy that, like, was, like, trust the process, all that shit with Sam Hinkie. So, like, if his first thing is to go in there and absolutely trade everything for Caleb.
Yeah.
Like, he's going to be talked about.
But he's from Washington too, man.
I know. It would be a cool narrative and everything. But Kevin Durant is from Washington, and he never got to play on the Wizards. So
they talk about that. I don't think he really ever wanted to.
There was that one offseason where they were talking about it, but it never obviously happened. Like, they were going to, like, Kevin Durant, Bradley Beal, and somebody else. I forget who the other person was.
Greg is like, God damn it. Basketball's back on this pod. This sucks. But all right, let's get back on topic. So I think we're both in agreement. JJ McCarthy jumping all the way up at the potential top five, pretty much almost locked into top 10, it almost seems like, from at least the narratives as of today, is definitely going to be something interesting, something that we have to continue monitoring. But kind of like what you mentioned, some of the followers were pretty much all the running backs. And the question that you have in here is, when does the first running back get selected? And I feel like, man, this is just so loaded, because this is such a loaded wide receiver and offensive tackle draft. And those are two premium positions that NFL teams would love to throw draft capital at. So I feel like that pushes back running backs even more. So it's just so unrealistic to think that no running back goes even in the second, right? Like, there has to be a running back that gets selected in the second, right?
I don't think there has to be. I think that, like, a couple years ago, James Cook, right? A couple years ago, James Cook was the first running back selected, and he was like the 62nd pick or something like that, like the end of the second round. I think that's probably where we see the first one go, like at the end of the second, maybe the beginning of the third. I think there could be like five or six taken in the third round, but like I don't think any of these guys really deserve. Like, I think you can make a case or like Braylon Allen, like you could be like, okay, maybe we can somehow turn him into Derrick Henry. But like people are saying, like he's probably going to run like a 4.6 at his pro day, and it's like, all right, if he's running a 4.6 at his pro day, he's like a 4.7. Like I don't know, like none of these running backs, like they all have like big flaws. Like Jonathan Brooks, I think is good, but he tore his ACL, and like yeah. you're not going to get anything out of him in the first year. Like, so I don't know. Like, I think like 5 or 6 could go in the third round, but like, I think we maybe get one in the second. Like, people are saying like Blake Corum is going to be a second round pick, but they have like the 32nd or 38th or 39th pick or something like that in the second round. That's like an early second round pick. Like, maybe if they trade down, but like,
they
I don't
always
see
trade
Blake Corum
into the second, too. There's so much they movement could, in the draft. Could. You could never just be like, oh, they don't have the picks right now. We know how crazy the, NFL draft yeah. There's like trades on trades on trades. It just takes the one domino to fall, and then all the NFL GMs are like, oh shit, here we go.
Yeah, but like if someone is drafted, one of these running backs is drafted the early second round, I'd be really surprised, because I don't think any of them are good enough.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. I would be surprised. I feel like if a running back is taken in the early second round, I feel like that would definitely start influencing the fantasy drafts now, right?
Oh, yeah,
because
absolutely.
Then people are just be like, holy shit, that is high, high capital in a draft where we perceive the running back class to be weak. Some, you know, team must have value saying, all right, this is the running back. We have to get him because we are afraid we might miss him. So it's definitely going to be something that we have to continue to watch, because that is going to definitely impact how things shake up. And I know you have later round first pick, so I know you're definitely going to be monitoring, you know, all the rumors, the draft capital, landing spot, all that kind of fun stuff that goes into someone who has the luxury, of course, of having first round picks. But speaking of the first round, your bread and butter, Darren, you're once known, and I guess you'd still make the argument, still are, wide receiver you. This is, it sounds repetitive, beating a dead horse, saying, oh, this is a historic draft for this position. Well, I won't say historic. How about that? It's really, really deep in wide receiver. And the combine has also shown that, man, some of these receivers are way faster. Like, even Mungkonkwo ran under a 4.4. And I was just like, oh, my God, dude.
Yeah,
those
that
guys
was surprising.
Freaks. So there's just so much depth. So all of that to say, how many wide receivers go in the first round, in your opinion? I think it's so easy to say, all right, Marvin Harrison Jr., Odunze, Neighbors, those three are a lock to go in the first round. Brian Thomas Jr., I'm obviously hearing to be pretty much a lock in the first round. That's four right there. Xavier Worthy just ran a 4.21. Is he a lock, you would say?
Yeah, I think so. I think he's definitely going to go in the first round now.
So that's already five, and that's just off the dome. What else are we thinking here? You think Adonai Mitchell did enough? First
yep,
round?
Yep. He's 6'2". He ran a 4.35. Like, he's going to be in the first round.
Six. All right. There's Keon Coleman, Troy Franklin. I don't think Keon Coleman makes it into the first. Troy Franklin is questionable only because he measured in like really, really small, right?
Yeah. He did.
So
he
I know
measured
that could...
in light.
Yeah, that could potentially be a knock. But that, what, we're already still talking about six right now. Do you think more than six go in the first?
I kind of think seven go. Like, I think that we have, tied, I guess. That I think the record is seven. I think we'll probably tie with seven.
That wouldn't be a surprise. Definitely like a wide receiver that we're not thinking of right now. That definitely sneaks in. I wouldn't even be surprised if, you know, maybe more and more talks happen and someone else continues to get in. Because I feel like you can never have too many wide receivers. That's evident.
Like the ones that you said, like Harrison, Neighbors, Odunze, Thomas, they're 100% locks. Like
Mitchell,
all four of those
Worthy.
Guys. Mitchell, Worthy. Babies. I would say that they're both locks. So that's six. So we just need one more. And
either
like
Coleman,
McConkey.
Franklin, Mungkonkwo, yeah.
I totally could see one of them sliding into the back end of the first round. Like the Chiefs could absolutely, obviously use a guy like that. Like their receivers stunk aside from Rashi Rice. So I think Troy Franklin, some people have compared him to MVS. He's like a better MVS. And like obviously MVS filled a role in that offense. He just sucks. So like if you have a good MVS, then you fill that role that Andy Reid was looking to fill with MVS with actually a good player. So Troy Franklin there would make sense to me to Kansas City. I would hate it so much because then I would be wanted to draft. Cause like I kind of just hate Kansas City now. I just like don't want anything to do with them.
My man.
I unfollowed Pat Mahomes on Instagram because he just pisses me off now. I'm just done with Kansas City.
My man, you finally got there. Imagine having a wife and that's her favorite team and just talks about it ad nauseum. I want to kill myself right now. But yes, with that,
that would be like kind of good in a way though, because like, you know, shared interests are always good, but it would be like,
that's like, all right, Darren, think about another hobby you have, and then Jackie just joining on and her just being way better, like way better at it than you. Just like immediately.
Like if Jackie started playing Call of Duty, and then she just like started just railing me, and I just couldn't do anything, and I felt like Chris Abbott, just like running around.
Or she only plays with like the broken items and like the M16. They're like, oh my god, so cheesy. But like with stopping power, juggernaut, like, and that's all she runs. Exactly. Then she just has like a huge KD, and you're like, oh my god, I can't believe this is the way you play. Like, well, it's just the best. Why would you navigate away from this? So yeah, my wife just fell ass backwards into the Chiefs when we moved to Kansas City, right when Patrick Mahomes started to take over. I was like, wow, it must be so difficult to be a football fan at this time for you. So yeah. Of course, the ribbing is nonstop because we've been on so many receiving end of heartbreaks. But let's jump over to some additional, I guess, like rumors that are still lingering in the NFL. And a lot of it is quarterback related, almost all. So Kirk Cousins, I feel like the longer it starts to linger, the more and more it seems that he might not be staying in Minnesota. What's your guess?
Yep. I totally agree. And I saw yesterday, I think it was, might have been today, if he is not signed by the new league year on March 13th, there is a $28.5 million cap hit regardless of if he signs or not. So if he is not signed by the new league year by the Vikings, he is gone. Like, there is no way that they are going to take the cap hit and let him go. So I think that the Vikings are kind of like looking for a reason to let him go. Like, they're looking for an excuse so that the fans don't get all pissed off. But like, if they are seen as like in a bidding war with Atlanta, and Atlanta comes and they're like, hey, we'll give you 3 years, $150 million, $50 million a year, then Minnesota will be like, ah, it's too much. The guy tore his Achilles. He's kind of old. All right. See you later, Kirk. Like, I think that they're just going to like use that as an excuse to like let him go. I think, you know, you heard it here first on the PDL pod. Like, I think we said this last week. Like, I know I said that Kirk's family's from Atlanta, or Kirk's wife's family is from Atlanta. So, I thought it like made sense from beginning if he was going to go somewhere. I thought it would have been Atlanta. Arthur Blank's old as shit. He's got to be like in his 80s. He's
like
knows
a mafia boss forever.
But he knows he's getting old. Like, he got close that 1 year with the 28-3 year. Tom Brady stole that one from him. He knows, like, he watched the teams the last 5 years and they've had no fucking quarterback. Like, Matt Ryan was decent that last year he was in Atlanta, but everything since then has been fucking horrible. So like, he knows, like, he wants to get a good quarterback. He doesn't want to hope that Justin Fields is good. He wants an actual good quarterback to get the ball to Kyle Pitts and to Drake London. And I'm assuming if they do sign Kirk, that eighth pick that they have in this draft, high likelihood that's a receiver too. I mean, you're going to have a really good offense with Kirk Cousins, and Tim Tarrant's Achilles to me doesn't really matter that much because he doesn't move at all to begin with. So I don't know why it would matter.
If Kirk does go to Atlanta, I'm assuming they would be throwing the bag at him, right? I mean, obviously.
Oh, yeah. He's going to get like $50 million a year.
If that's the case, dude, Kirk Cousins is already 11th in total career earnings, like all time. Isn't that unbelievable? Yeah. And obviously, like, every time he hits the fucking, it's like, hoping, like, the cap just increased by $30 million, by the way. Obviously, yep. That's a historic number. So every time Kirk just hits them, and he hits those like contracts that where it's fully guaranteed, he got $185 million from Minnesota, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. he got almost 46 and a half from the Commanders, or I should just say Washington. And like I just said, right now he's sitting at 11th, only pretty much less than $1 million. From Eli Manning. So he's easily going to finish in the top 10. You can make the argument he's going to finish top 5 probably in his career when it's
all
said
and done. Who are
the
guys above
him? Eli Manning, Philip Rivers, Peyton Manning, Russell Wilson, who's currently active, Ben Roethlisberger, Drew Brees. I'm going up, by the way. Matt Ryan and the top 3, Number three, Tom Brady. Number two, Matt Stafford. Number one, do you know who it is?
Aaron Rodgers?
A-Rod, you are absolutely correct. Number one. He so far has the most money made at $343 million in his career.
The most surprising to me on that list is Matt Stafford.
Yeah, at second.
Yeah, that's pretty
actually, you want to hear something absolutely wild? So I said Kirk Cousins at number 11, right? Number 12, Alex Smith. Not too surprising. He was the number one overall. Hold on. He was number one overall at one time. You want to hear the most surprising? Right here. Number 13. Actually, let me tell you who's number 14 and 15 first. Larry Fitzgerald and then Von Miller. Makes sense, right? Skill position players, Hall of Famers, long careers. You want to hear who number 13 is? Ryan Tannehill.
What?
He made more money than Carson Palmer, Trent Williams, Ndamukong Suh, Derek Carr, Dak Prescott, like all these guys. It's Ryan Tannehill. He's the freaking GOAT. Like, no one's talking about him. Yeah, wow. Titans paid him a lot of money. But wow, sorry, we got sidetracked. I just wanted, anytime I think about Kirk Cousins, I just think of how he's like the contract, like his agent is the GOAT. So,
and that's another
agent,
reason.
That's his agent's favorite client, right? Like, dude, Kirk, you just get guaranteed contract. I fucking love you. The commission I get on this is awesome.
That's another reason, though. Like, I think that he never fails to secure the bag. Like, I think that if the Vikings are like, hey, man, you want to take a hometown discount for us? He's going to be like, yeah, fuck off. I'm going to take the most money.
Yeah, my wife doesn't shop at Kohl's because we say, buddy, it's just because I'm cool, but I need that Kohl's cash, buddy.
Like, there's no way he's taking a hometown discount. Like, he knows that this is his last contract. He's not going to get another one. Like, he's 35. Like, he has one more shot at this, and then he's retired. Like, he's whoever gives him the most money, that's what he's taking.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. And I feel like it just works out that might be Atlanta, and he already has some ties. So, if that's what you're predicting, I feel like that's going to put a lot of it's going to put a little rain on the parade for Justin Fields, because I feel like that's where he's been connected to Atlanta, right? So if that were to happen, where do you connect Mr. Justin Fields? And remember, Max is listening. And what you say obviously comes true, right, Darren?
I have no clue. Like,
the Raiders?
So the Raiders kind of make sense, but, like, I don't know. Like, do they? Like, do the Raiders make... Like, no, like Pittsburgh to me makes the most sense if it's not Atlanta, but it seems like they're going to stick with Kenny Pickett's shitty ass. And I don't really understand that, but, like, you know, whatever. I don't know. Like, if the Patriots pass on a quarterback and they take Marvin Harrison, like, that kind of makes sense if he goes there. I don't know. Like, I think it's possible that he gets stuck on, like, the Giants or something, where he's competing with Daniel Jones for the starting job. And I think he'll probably beat out Daniel Jones, but it's going
to
be a
camp
battle.
So nice of you to say, Darren.
I think the thing is, though, that, like, people, so, like, everyone that, like, in the fantasy world that we're in, right, everyone just kind of ignores that he's not a good passer. And they're like, but he's really good in fantasy football. Like, he's really good. And everyone kind of just ignores the fact
that Darren,
he
had that one
football.
Game where he had like a billion yards and touchdown. And I'm talking about the game where DJ Moore had all of those yards and touchdowns.
Yeah, exactly. But it doesn't make any sense, though, like, because he has the ability to throw the football. He just, like, can't put it together. Like, it doesn't make any sense why he can't do it, because
maybe
has
he
the
just
ability.
Can't do it in Chicago. I'm telling you, it's different. Maybe. Like, if he goes to a dome, would you be surprised if he reverts back to his Ohio State ways? I wouldn't. Like, all of a sudden, he's throwing with touch. All of a sudden, the accuracy comes. Everything that we saw, or I saw personally, I had him as a very highly rated prospect. So, I'm totally eating the L on Justin Fields, because I was so high on him. I was like, oh, my God, do I even put him above Trevor Lawrence? I might put him above Trevor Lawrence. Like, he's just better. Like, he can do all this. And then all of a sudden, he became, like, this running quarterback that he never was at Ohio State. I was like, who is this? Like, this is, like, a completely different player. But what I'm trying to say is, like, maybe I know I've been screaming at this at you at multiple times throughout this podcast, but, like, I don't know. Maybe it is because it's Chicago. It's hard to throw, man.
Yeah, so I think that, like, one of the ideas I saw floated was him getting traded to the Rams and sitting for a year behind Matt Stafford. But I think the problem with that is I think Matt Stafford probably plays, like, two more years. I saw that they're probably going to restructure his contract this year, and if they do that, he's definitely going to be playing.
His wife
two more
saw
years.
That he was second in earnings, and she's like, "Bitch, you can pass Aaron Rodgers. You fucking kidding me right now, Matthew? You're going to play another 5 years if you fucking have to. I don't give you a freaking back."
So I think the problem with that is if Matt Stafford plays two more years, you have two more years on Justin Fields' contract, and then you have to re-sign him without knowing if he's any good or not. So I think that's probably out of the question. Like, I don't know. Like, I have no clue where he goes. Like, Vegas does make sense in a way.
Hold on. Minnesota?
Like,
won't Minnesota need a quarterback after Kirk Cousins goes?
Yeah, but I'm assuming that they probably get a rookie. That's what I'm assuming. Yeah, I'm assuming that they bring in a rookie like Jane Daniels, because I know that they loved Anthony Richardson last year, and apparently they tried to trade up to get Anthony Richardson. So I think that they're probably going to attempt to get like Jaden Daniels or J.J. McCarthy or something like that. That's just what I'm assuming right now. I don't know, but I don't know. Justin Fields is like, and it seems like his market is like not as good as people kind of assumed.
I think
like,
that's another low key storyline that came out of the combine, right? Like a lot of people are like, oh wow, there's not really a market for Justin Fields unless that's a smokescreen. Yeah. But I feel like that was one of the underlying storylines of the combine. Would you be able to confirm that there? Did you hear that as well?
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of people were tweeting out like the same thing, and it was coming from a lot of different talking heads. Like they were like, you know, there isn't like that big of a market as everyone assumed. Like there's 14. One of them was the Vikings that you mentioned, but I think it's like he's gonna be a lot of teams' like second choice. Like I think that if say the Falcons don't land Kirk Cousins, I could totally see them being right back in on Justin Fields. But I think that like he's kind of like, all right, we didn't get our guy. We'll take you. Like I don't think he's like the first choice for any teams. I think the Steelers should be all over him, I think, but I don't understand. I like the sunk cost fallacy with Kenny Pickett is just so ridiculous. Like they're gonna keep Kenny Pickett, probably sign Ryan Tannehill, the 13th highest earner ever, and that's what they're going to roll with, it seems like. Like, I don't get it.
Yeah, so now let me throw another enigma at you, because it looks like, obviously, Sean Payton and the Denver Broncos are like, you know what, Russ, get the heck out of here. You are cut. So now Russ is looking for another home, and obviously Russ is going to want Denver to pay the price for essentially releasing him. So it makes sense for him to take the absolute minimum paid contract by another franchise, because that means that Denver will have to pay out as much as they can on that contract that they gave him. So if that's all to say, I'm not saying, oh, Darren, tell me how Russ might be a good quarterback still and will be able to give you top numbers if you're a franchise looking for a quarterback currently. But would that equation be different? I said, hey, Darren, Russell Wilson is now available to play for your franchise at the vet minimum. Does that change the equation?
I think it should. I mean, if you got him on a one-year, $1.5 million deal or whatever it is, I think it should change your opinion. Like he wasn't horrible last year. He wasn't like world beater or anything by any means. But I think like for me,
it's also clear to say that like Sean Payton fucking hated him. So I can't really
imagine him
like setting him up like, oh, let me make Russell Wilson look. I'm not saying he sabotaged him in any way. I'm not trying to get a conspiracy hat on myself right now. But I am saying like, I can't imagine Sean Payton like as he's, you know, doing game plans and not being able to stand him at all, being like, oh my God, how can I get the best out of him? He's probably thinking, all right, just got 1 year with this motherfucker.
Get through the year.
And exactly, just got to get through the year. Everyone knows we're going to cut him and then move on. So what I think we saw in Denver, I don't think is a good representation of Russ, but it's very clear to say the Seattle Russ is that's long, long gone as well.
Yeah, I think so. I think that he is probably on his like Carson Wentz path right now. Like he gets one more shot, and if he still stinks there, he's probably maybe a backup, but I don't even know if he gets a backdrop job because he's just like so much of a distraction.
Like when he comes, yeah, it's almost like that Tebow factor. Like the media is always going to be asking, like Sierra's gonna now be tweeting, being like, my man shouldn't be on the bench or some bullshit like that halfway through the season. But
like,
where do you think he goes, though, now with such a low salary kind of hanging on his head? Because I could totally see him going into Minnesota, right? If they lose Kirk, even if they get a rookie like O'Connell, he saw what it's like to be a head coach with such crappy. Like, he had Dobbs in there, Mullins in there. He had so many people interchanging after Kirk went down. I think that's a perfect destination. 1 year contract, whatever it is, I think that would be a great fit. But I don't know. I keep tying the Raiders as well, only because, you know, the head coach is Antonio Pierce. He seems like a lot of people are saying he's not an X's and Go's. Yeah, X's and O's guy. He's more of like the guy that you want to play for, the rah-rah guy. So maybe he wants like a veteran quarterback. Be like, all right, you just got to hold down the fort. And Russ, I know you're good. And look, now you're throwing to fucking Devontae Adams. That's all you need to do. And we'll let the defense do its thing. I feel like that would also kind of be a good fit. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think that like the same kind of teams that are going to be in on Justin Fields are probably the teams that are in. Like, Minnesota does make sense to me because like, you can have Russ on the 1 year stick it up your ass deal and then have JJ McCarthy on the bench, you know, like, so because I think he probably would be best suited. And everyone acts like it's like such a terrible thing to have the guy sit on the bench, but like Tom Brady sat on the bench. Pat Mahomes sat on the bench for a year. He played the very last game of the season, Pat Mahomes. So, like, there's nothing wrong with having the guy sit on the bench. I think that JJ McCarthy would be best suited to do that for a year. So if you bring in Russell Wilson and you draft JJ McCarthy, Russell Wilson's good enough that, like, they're still competitive and everything. I don't know. Like, there's not a whole lot of teams that make sense for him either because, like, I don't think he's going to go to the Steelers. I don't see that. It could be like musical chairs sort of with the quarterbacks. Like, say Kirk goes to Atlanta and then Baker goes to Minnesota. Like, maybe Russell Wilson goes to Tampa Bay. Like, there could be like musical chairs in a way there. So I don't know. Like, it's going to be interesting how it like shakes up because like, there's only so many seats and it seems like there's like, I think that Russell Wilson deserves a job. And a starting job, I mean, and so does Justin Fields. Like, I think that they both are top 32 quarterbacks in the NFL. Like, they both deserve a job. So, I don't know. It's just interesting to see. Like, Russell Wilson's better than Daniel Jones. Like, Daniel Jones sucks. And that contract was horrible. And that's another thing that they came out of the combine. Like, Rich Eisen said that.
They're like, oh, they regret it. Like, oh, who could have seen this coming?
Yeah. No shit.
Oh, my goodness. Really? Maybe as soon as you fucking signed with that contract and everyone made fun of you, there's no inkling there.
Like that, how much better off would they have been if they just franchise tagged him and re-signed Saquon to a bigger deal? Oh, like, how much better off would they be right now? They already have the sixth pick in the draft. They would have no contract tied to Daniel Jones, and they could just move up one pick and get a quarterback. Like, and a better quarterback.
Yeah, that's absolutely unbelievable. But, man, oh, man. But you love to see it because we're Eagles fans, so you love to see the hiccups.
Yeah, I hate the Giants.
Yeah, after what they did to Odell, you probably hate them more than Dallas, I think you said, which is wild.
Yes, definitely.
I fucking hate Dallas, but I completely get it. But yeah, Russ, I could totally just see him kind of being that stopgap for 1 year because he is definitely going to be valuable. He's definitely going to be able to help you win your games, especially now because he has another chip on his shoulder, even though he kind of still had that throughout Denver. So we'll see how much is still left in the tank, but... would you say with confidence that Russell Wilson is going to be a starter next season?
I would be like 80% sure, I think.
I agree.
That he will be.
Like, I would be surprised if he's not.
If he's not a starter, I'd be surprised. Like, I think he's still good enough to be a starter. Like, he's not amazing or anything, but he's still good enough. Like, there were some shitty quarterbacks that started games this year. Like,
Yeah.
Desmond Ridder started like almost an entire season. He's definitely better than Desmond Ridder. Like, come on.
Yeah, no, I completely get that. So just to put a wrap, we have to face it a little bit, Philly bias. So I see the question you have on here. Do you have a guy you want the Eagles to take as of right now, Darren? And
I'll
answer the question as well. I have some thoughts, but I would love to hear yours first. That's my
Cooper DeJean. I want him. I think he is what we need in the secondary. He is like a hybrid kind of, like, we need a safety and we also need a cornerback. And they already said that James Bradbury is going to be back. And obviously Darius Slay is going to be back. So we have a guy that like can play safety and corner. I just think he would fit perfectly in our secondary. And I know some people like are not going to want him because he's a white cornerback. And that's like, there isn't another one in the NFL. So people are just going to like assume he sucks, but he's like really, really athletic and he's really good. So I think if he's there around like 22, I think it'd be awesome because he could be a guy that like you play at slot corner for a couple years, and then maybe like after he gets a little slower, then you transition him to safety, and he's like Harrison Smith or something like that. I know that's another white dude, but just like the first name that popped in my head. I just think
yeah,
that
just
he
like
could
Eric
be a
Weddle,
guy.
huh?
Exactly, Eric Weddle,
I'm trying
another
to think of another
perfect,
white. I'm trying to think of
perfect
as many
cop.
white safeties right now.
We have another one, Reed Blankenship. We have another
Dude,
white
I love
safety.
Reed Blankenship, honestly.
They could be the only white safety duo in the NFL.
That would
You could
confuse
have
the quarterback
DeJean and
dropping back.
Blankenship.
They'll be like, oh my God, that's so many. Wait, what are those? Are those linebackers all the way back there? What's happening?
It's like Bill Belichick's wet dream.
The versatility. No, I love that, especially because Fangio is now our defensive coordinator. I know last year was kind of like a Frankenstein version of what we wanted.
Yeah.
Like, it was like the Fangio schemed inspired defense. But now we actually have the guy. And obviously, for those of you who don't know, one of the big things is like his strategic use of like two high safety shells, right? And he does a lot of match zone coverages and things like that. And to be able to do that, there's a lot of complexity that falls onto the linebackers and more importantly, the safeties. And so I actually love your pick of Cooper DeJean. Once again, I am not following this draft class as close as I should. The only real recommendation I was going to say is hopefully someone in the secondary. So obviously your answer covers that. Or I also know, for whatever reason, Darren, how many defensive players are even projected to go in the first round?
I think it was Dane Brugler's mock I just looked at like before we started recording this. He doesn't have a defensive player being selected until the 13th pick. Like there's
Jesus
the first
Christ.
12 picks are offensive guys. Like it's crazy like how the like I think there is like a lot of good, like I think Dallas Turner, Jared Verse, like Latu or whatever his name is, like there's like a few
For
edge
me,
guys that
I was
go.
Gonna say maybe take the best edge guy because this is recency bias, and I would love to know how
our edge,
Fangio's
we do
defense.
need a better
Dude,
edge,
we
like
had no pass rush like the second half of the year. I know at one point we're like, oh my God, the Eagles are on track for having even more sacks than they had last year, and that was on a record breaking pace. And then our defense just stopped, and I was like, I just got so frustrated watching these quarterbacks drop back for 4, 5, 6, 7 seconds. And I was like, what's happening? Are we just like, are we not doing anything at all? So I would love an additional pass rusher. Obviously, this is completely different depending on how Fangio is going to scheme up our defense because he definitely will add in new wrinkles. But whoever that best pass rusher is, I'll definitely take that. But that's kind of when I also wanted to ask you. I know that last two guys on there, I know Chop Robinson just had a really good combine. He's from Penn State. I'm not saying that's who I want. I'm just naming, you know, some potential pass rushers that might be there. These are just some type of players. I'm also excited for Nolan Smith to get a bigger role. I know he started to come on a little bit towards the end and had a decent playoff game as well. So I don't know. Maybe we don't have to go lineman, but just knowing Howie, right? Remember, this is Howie drafting here. Would you be surprised at all if it's just another like interior offensive lineman or something like that? I wouldn't be surprised at all. I wouldn't be surprised if we actually just double down, just now take a tackle or something.
I think
get
we
ready
could,
for
it's
Lane.
possible, like Jackson Powers Johnson from
I would
Oregon.
love that. Yeah, he's the center, right?
Yeah, I think there's a, if he's there at, I think we have 22 or 23 or something like that. If he's there,
Jackson
I could
Powers
definitely
Johnson,
see
I would
him.
Love that. Yeah, he just, I think he was, he won the award for best center this past year, I believe, the Remington Trophy. Yeah, and he tested really, really well. And at the Senior Bowl, he was actually one of the players that people walked away saying, holy shit, like this guy's good. And it's weird when at the Senior Bowl, they're talking about an offensive lineman, right? So I don't know. I think one of the MOs for the Eagles is always having good offensive line. Stoutland just obviously lost Jason Kelsey. It would not be a surprise now. I know we obviously have Cam Jurgens, who a lot of people are saying will obviously shift right into that center role because that's what we initially drafted him to be, but he did move over to guard for us. But if Jackson Powers Johnson is available, oh boy, I would not be upset with that pick at all. And I'm sure Jalen Hurts would be very happy with that too. But overall, just to kind of put a stamp on it there, whose landing spot are you most excited for? Like, for the draft?
I
it has
guess
to be either quarterback or skill position player, right? Like, that has to be, because that's fantasy related.
Yeah, I was going to say like the top three receivers because everyone seems to be mocking. Everyone seems to be mocking an offensive tackle to the Titans. I think they're going to go receiver.
I would 100% think they're going receiver. Didn't someone leak that they're going receiver and then they try to backtrack it or something like that?
I don't know. I didn't see that, but you could be right.
I think I heard someone in an interview, they were interviewing a receiver, like, oh yeah, they're definitely going to go wide receiver. Oh, and or like something along those lines. And he kind of caught himself. He's like, no, they really like the receivers in the first round or something like that. He started to backtrack, but I agree with you.
If Rome or Neighbors, because obviously we're assuming that Harrison is gone, but if one of those two guys is there at seven, I think they take them so fast, either one of them, which that would be a pretty shitty landing spot unless you're confident that Will Levis is going to be good. But somebody said, like, no matter what, if they go to Tennessee, I'm just out on them. That offense is, like, who knows?
That's what we did to AJ Brown. Remember? Should we do it again?
I know.
Maybe it's.
I know. It is.
Maybe Will Levis
turns
on, leans on a receiver.
I saw that Will Levis had 4 touchdown passes in his first 29 attempts, and then he had 4 touchdown passes in his next like 290 or something like that.
Those are Kenny Pickett numbers.
Yeah, well, Kenny Pickett's much worse. But
sorry, I didn't mean to disrespect that much.
It was just his rookie year. He's kind of thrown into the fire a little bit with Ryan Tannehill getting hurt. I don't think Vrabel wanted to start Will Levis when he did, but I think that, like, Will Levis is talented. Like, he has a big arm and everything, but I don't know. Like, I don't know if he can put it all together, but I think that they're definitely take receiver there. So, like, the receivers, the landing spots for the top three guys, I'm really interested. And Brock Bowers. A lot of people are, like, hoping that he falls to the Bengals, which I just don't think it's going to happen because they have the 18th pick.
Let's be honest, I am interested in whoever Kansas City and Buffalo Bills take because a lot of people are saying they're going to take receiver. Yeah. And they've pretty much been outspoken that they would be there. So whoever they take, you could imagine, strap a jetpack to their value, right?
Yep. I think that's the floor for Xavier Worthy is Buffalo. Like, I don't think that he gets past that pick.
Just imagine matching that kind of speed with what they're doing in Buffalo with Josh Allen's arm. Stephon Diggs still there. Obviously, they're going to let Gabe Davis go. My goodness, that would be a lot of fun. But yeah, that's my honest truth. I just want to know who Buffalo and Kansas City takes because I'm not in range of any of these players, obviously. I don't have any picks. And
you
so I just
Bucky
like
Irving.
Sitting back. Yeah, I like to sit back and honestly just watch a lot of these values fluctuate wildly in front of me and seeing all the owners get really, really, you know, nervous, being like, oh God, I really hope this works out kind of thing. But yeah, with that being said, Dare, hey, we're on track. I know we both have a heart out soon. We stayed on track. So I really appreciate you jumping on. But Max, if you're listening, I'm sure you are. Don't worry. Your episode's coming. We just have to, you know, invest a little bit more time. You should be honored. We didn't want to rip you off with like a 45-minute episode. We're not like that, right, Darren?
Yeah, we could have just been like, yeah, his team's really good. All right, see you guys.
All right, let's talk about the Doku Dreamers. And then my episode's like 2.5 hours long. And then your episode was like an hour. He'd be like, what the heck? But no, Max, we won't do you dirty. But all right, guys, thanks for joining. Until next time, take care. All right, now that's a wrap for this episode of the PDL Podcast. Thanks for tuning in, guys.
See you guys in the next one.